Our sponsor today is HBO Now. What's that? Never heard of HBO Now? Well, let me tell you about it. HBO Now is a new way to stream all of HBO's series, movies, documentaries, sports, specials, and more. That's right. And there's no TV package required. You can do this independent. That's right. You are now Miss Independent. We are living in a post Kelly Clarkson world. When she sang that song, I believe she was talking about HBO Now. Download the app on your favorite device to start your free 30-day trial. That's right. A free 30-day trial. You'll start it instantly, and you can start getting into all that HBO goodness. Watch that final season of Girls. Watch every episode ever of Sesame Street. Seriously, I put my kid in front of it, and I came back 5 weeks later. He was talking, he was having a lot of fun, and he mastered puppeteering. I'm not saying that HBO Now makes everyone better, but it kind of does.
I believe that children roller hockey players are our future. Teach them well, and they will lead the way. This is what Whitney Houston would have said if she saw this movie. We saw Solar Babies, so you know what that means.
Remix! How did Schwarzenegger grow a baby in his belly? Rock a rhinestone vest while whipping Justin to Kelly. Or maybe see a burlesque show with Nick Crow. And take a boat with speed to hitting cruise control. J-Man, Big Paul, and the beautiful June. Gonna take you from the goob all the way to the room. Ran the games of Street Fighter, helped to blow off steam. Just a sucker punch the odd life of Timothy Green. Sharknado, the Birdemic, how we staying alive. They calling in the badass, and he's on the line. Cranking 88 minutes, cause they cool as ice. Cause a bad Jim Varney looking kind of nice.
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to Alive. How did this get made? We are live here at Largo in Los Angeles, our home for our live shows. We are very excited to be here tonight to talk about a movie that predicts our future, a movie that talks about the importance of water and robots and roller skating. All these things will be covered. But first, let me introduce my co-host. Please welcome Jason Mantzoukas.
What's up, jerks?
How are you, Jason?
I'm terrific, Paul. I am just great having seen Solar Babies.
I wish, and for the audience at home, just pretend that Jason roller skated out of here. I wish we could have done that.
Across a desert to get here.
Please also welcome to the stage, June Diane Raphael.
Hello.
June did roller skate across stage.
I did.
How are you, June?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Nice to see you here.
Great to see you.
Great to see you as well. Did you enjoy Solar Babies?
I love Solar Babies.
All right. We have a
Getting hot in here.
You have heard about the sexual chemistry, the sexual tension. You just experienced it here.
Everyone in this room is turned on.
I'm sorry, Flanny, but all the seats are going to be wet.
Yeah.
Because everyone just came in their own special way.
Squish. Squish.
We have a very special guest. This guy is fantastically funny. You know him from his amazing stand-up, his Netflix specials, and he just toured the country with the show. Oh, hello. Please welcome John Mulaney.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I work so hard. I work so hard. Thank you.
Well, we are all here tonight to discuss Solar Babies. A Mel Brooks film. This is a Mel Brooks produced film.
I mean,
it's a Brooks film.
Well, Brooks film, right. So, yes, so it's his production company.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm letting him off the hook. It's his production company.
But Mel Brooks also did.
Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sure Mel did.
It's a Brooks film.
It's, you know, he did Elephant Man and Solar Babies. It's, yeah, so.
who knows? Yeah, so I'm saying there's a 70% chance that this could be a comedy that he just really disguised really subtly.
That would be amazing.
Well, okay.
Where to begin?
I mean, we begin in the year 41. Like, that's where we're at.
And are we assuming that 41 started, like, after 1986? Like the apocalypse? Because Charles Durning remembers the Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he does, doesn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's 1,000 years in the future from 1986.
Right. Oh, but so it's 1,000 years ahead, but they only call it 41?
Right, like something happened where they were like, hey, let's do zero.
Okay, then, got it.
Yeah.
So I only thought it would be...
Clearly four. Something happened.
But zero happened like 959
years. So we can assume we have a good 900X years ahead of us, all right. And then shit will go bad, and then we'll get to 47.
And at that point, we're all going to be like roller skates.
Yeah.
We're going to be like, that is how we need to travel, especially through the sandy deserts of this earth.
Nothing works better on sand
than
roller skates.
Yep. That's how we're traveling. That's what we've all decided. Also, it's part of some sort of Quidditch-like game, so this is what's up.
Also, the game might disappear,
yep.
And don't ask any questions about it. Also, yeah, at some point, we might all stop playing the game, even though it seems like it's going to be about the game.
Yeah.
It felt like this movie, and I'll say, just because the title of the film is Solar Babies, the name of the hockey team, that it would be about the hockey team.
Oh, yeah.
And some sort of, you know, post-apocalyptic rivalry.
Oh, nothing has ever been more set up of a ragtag team versus blondes.
Yep.
And versus Aryans. It was a textbook Aryans versus ragtag.
Yes.
And then no payoff to it.
None.
I did expect in the final sequence for some amazing rollerblading to happen that would justify the setup. I expected that they would really save the day by Blade. And, I mean, they did Blade into that final third act sequence. They bladed there.
Everywhere they went, but that was the thing.
But they, at that point, they had bladed everywhere.
Well, right.
So there was nothing.
The blading is mediocre. I mean, they're not like great roller skaters.
Well, you know,
or
Paul,
even...
but I have to say, I think their rollerblading is fine. I think their blades are so rudimentary. The rollerblades they're blading on are, I mean...
A lot of them are straight up roller skates.
Yeah, roller skates. They're not roller blades.
They're like
with
old,
a front
like,
heel.
So
yeah.
They're straight up Steve Guttenberg at the beginning of Can't Stop the Music roller skating.
Yes. So I don't know how much more they could do with...
Here's why I
like
think
that.
The roller skating is bad, because at one point when they're roller skating towards a door at the end, they don't stop, they just slam into the wall.
The ladder.
Like they just hit it hard and they're like, well, the wall will stop.
They never take the skates off. Like they never really take the skates off.
Peter DeLuise does once. And
oh,
he
really?
Walked with
don't
the
you dare use that name as if anyone here knows who that is.
I mean, I'll talk about Michael DeLuise all day long.
Guys, I was thinking that you were all fans of 21 Jump Street and Peter DeLuise killing it on that show. So it is kind of... I mean, the roller skates don't even seem to play that much of an important part.
You know why I know? Because there are periods of the movie where they are with people who are not on roller skates who seem to be keeping up just fine. Like, they don't seem to be giving them that much of an advantage.
Right.
At a certain point, Adrian Pasdar is just running in boots right along with the group.
Right. The majority of the third act is a chase where the roller skates provide no advantage.
Right. Because they're being chased by, like, tanks and motorcycles.
Yeah.
And are caught every single time.
And... this is a movie also, and I went back to
watch... Is it though?
They made it, but yeah, it doesn't, like, I kept on going, what is it about? And it's a movie that, where, when you first watch the voiceover at the top, it makes no sense, because you have no context, but then at the end, you're like, oh, okay, that's what this movie was about. Like, they do
Wait,
set it up.
Wait, what was it?
Well, yeah. I'll play...
I'm genuinely, like, I don't know.
Well, I'll play
I don't
you,
know
like...
why so much of what happened. If all the method to the madness was just like, oh, we broke the dam. Well, water now.
Like, again, like, this is,
yeah,
like,
also, you had water?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the earth had no water.
No, it's,
oh,
just
it was
dam.
Behind a dam?
Yeah.
It's behind a dam.
They never got into that. It wasn't like it was being, like,
and then there's the secret society of the Oasis who are like, we don't want anybody to know we're here.
Very confusing. Because again, it looked like it was going to be a movie about roller skating.
I thought it was going to be a whole movie about Orphanage 43, and the young thugs in the Solar Babies roller. What did they call it?
Oh, skateball.
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 Oh.
That's the shit that bugs the fuck out of me. In the
whoa, Paul. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Paul. Paul.
Paul.
Paul. Whoa.
God damn it.
Whoa, Paul.
No, it's like when they, because they keep certain things. They keep certain things, like, this movie is 1,041 years in the future, from whenever that was. But yet,
no,
reading,
it's 1,000 years in the future.
Oh, 1,000 years in the future.
So at a certain point, come on, we've already gone over this.
All right, yes.
I want to get to, we have to decide what it is, though. It's 1,000 years in the future,
well,
right?
Here's the thing.
I'm going off the trailer. 1,000 years
yes,
in the
no,
future.
I agree.
In we the got, year 47. What?
They have stuff like books that were clearly from the time, like,
yeah,
like from the 80s,
yeah,
or, you know, and, but then they're like skateball, but wouldn't it just be hockey? They wouldn't have forgotten about hockey.
Also, I thought that of that as a lacrosse stick too.
Yeah. That's right. Definitely a lacrosse stick.
Yeah.
It's a lacrosse stick like sewn to a hockey stick.
Yeah.
Actually, if I came out of anything with, like, if something really resonated with me in this movie, When I was in high school, the lacrosse guys were like so cool and so hot, and I watched this
June,
movie
Paul
and
is
I was
right.
I know he is. But I watched
I'm not worried,
this
you
movie,
saw our sexual tension.
And I was like, wow, lacrosse is a dumb sport.
Yeah.
It's a stupid sport.
And
it's so dumb.
All you need to reveal it is to put them all on roller skates.
And it became so clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, well, for me, it was worth it. It really, those guys didn't
to diffuse
high school,
that. Yeah,
I really.
It also made the very distinct connection between lacrosse and Nazis, and that, like, that there was definitely like Nazi lacrosse teams. You know, like I
for
felt
sure.
like those guys. Yeah, pretty. It was like a real Nazi team, and the what was that team called?
The Scorpions.
And of course they were playing against the Solar Babies.
Oh, and they always lose. They're like the Washington Generals of Orphanage 43.
Well, not the Solar Babies. They always win.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm talking about the
Scorpions.
Poor Scorpions.
I want to play the opening, the voiceover, because now that we've seen the movie, I wonder.
Can we, by the way, I think we should say we've seen these movies, because I think it is five movies in one movie.
Yeah, it was definitely.
It's a ragtag versus rich kids movie. It's a Flight of the Navigator-esque finding a magical thing.
Yeah.
It's a post-apocalyptic Mad Max type movie.
Yeah.
And then it's your garden variety bully almost raping a girl movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got every one of those elements. Yeah.
I think a guy went into like Brooks Films and pitched five movies and Mel was like, great, go.
We can only afford one. Combine them.
Yeah.
Put them all in.
So this is the opening voiceover. It made me go, oh, all right, I guess they did set it up. But that also feels like everyone left the movie going, what? And then they're like, we'll put voiceover at the top. We'll get it. Here, this is the beginning.
We live in the new time. The year is 41, and the Protectorate controls all the water on Earth, and therefore, all life. I am the warden of Orphanage 43, one of the many orphanages that border the wasteland. Children are brought here at an early age to be indoctrinated, to serve the system. It hurts me to do what I do, but I too must serve the system. Sometimes in my dreams, I see the earth as it was before, green with flowing rivers and mighty oceans. Can it ever be like that again? There is a legend. A tale told by the Chicanos.
This is still happening.
What?
Yeah.
That speaks of a visitor that came from the heavens. The people called it Bodai. The legend says that it has come to Earth
anything.
To free the waters once again. Is this legend true?
He's asking.
Who knows?
And he answers.
Could anyone help with...
Who knows?
I'm sincerely asking, is this legend true? Fill out your comment cards.
That's a shitload of exposition at the top.
Also, I like
five premises.
I've never heard in opening VO, I don't like my job.
Yep. And also, he is not a main character in this story at all.
Yeah.
So ostensibly, these are just a bunch of setup lines from a character who we almost never see.
Who
just,
maybe is in arguably three scenes.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. And does almost nothing in any of them.
Yeah.
He's not important to the story.
No.
Like, it is the story of the kids.
Why don't you just have, like, Lucas Haas, who arguably, I mean, although at the end, I don't know who's the victim.
8-year-old Lucas Haas?
So good.
We're already in the pussy posse at this
yeah.
point. I think he's already just crushing.
Yeah, already a private booth at Sushi Samba. Wrangling women. Leo throwing around Growing Pains money.
Yeah, oh. Yeah.
Lucas has got his Solar Babies check.
Yep. Oh, they're living
all the sashimi
the
I can
dream.
Have.
Dream. All that Kevin Connolly, still an altar boy.
He also has a problem at the top. He's has electric ears, which are just basically like Beats by Dre headphones
yeah.
he's wearing. And then his reveal is, I don't need those headphones anymore. I can
because,
hear.
Because of Bodai.
Because he talks to Bodai. Because
that I did understand.
I did that get that too, but it seems like, wouldn't you just make the kid deaf and then he gets his hearing? It's sort of like,
I think
now
like,
I don't
well, I think he was
aids.
Deaf, but he had... Oh, you're saying like, why was he hard of hearing? He should have
I
just been flat out deaf.
I think what they needed to justify, and I actually appreciated this, was if he were completely deaf and couldn't hear, he would not be able to speak.
Oh.
So his voice would sound... He would have no like vocal reference, and so they
and
had to
And the movie does follow...
I feel like June followers are going to start wearing robes. I feel like it's going to be a June.
He had to hear somehow. His sideburns upset me quite a bit.
Yeah.
By the way, I didn't know that his headphones were electric ears till after he said, I can hear now. Then Jamie Gertz said, where are your electric ears?
Yeah.
I thought they were headphones.
That's what I thought.
Because he was on roller skates.
And they were basically just like Radio Shack headphones. They were not... You
also,
know.
When he switches on the power to the skate park in the beginning, there is an enormous electric shock right next to that child actor.
Yep.
There's no... That's not a stunt double. He pulls this lever, and I'm sure it was safe, but it like blows up right near his head.
I don't think it was safe. I think we're in the era of the Twilight Zone movie. We're like, fuck it. Put the kid
there. We got
there.
This. We got this.
Pull my hand. No, whatever.
Oh, that too soon for you guys?
I wasn't making fun of it. I'm just saying there was a recklessness to
it.
Oh, filming.
No, Paul, that's too far.
But they doubled down. Not only are you watching roller hockey, you're also watching another guy who's also on roller skates and has a pet owl.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he's Indian, I think. But all the Indian, like the Native Americans, just look like they're doing that thing that Fisher Stevens did in Short Circuit, where they just kind of like dirty them up a little bit. And like, you're white people that are just pretending to be Indians. They don't...
Well, I don't really know where we are in the world to call them Native
Americans.
We're
in the protectorate, which is also the system.
Right.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That is the first thing Charles Durning kind
of... And that, of course, made total sense for me.
Right.
I got that.
Yeah.
Well, they were called... They were like... I think that they were like... It felt like they were the Native American people, right? That they, because they had,
are we in America? Are we in America?
Wow, now it's really
spoilers. This movie takes place on the continent of Asia.
Whoa,
with local Asian Charles Durning.
Yeah, you know that in a thousand.
You goddamn kids. Also, I like that it's like I think they're. I thought they were in trouble for playing skate lacrosse. And then he's like, why didn't you just play on the court we have here? Yeah. And you're like, you have a court here?
Yeah, and they train every day. They have like roller skate training.
Like his point was like, we have one here.
Yeah.
It did seem like a large facility. I don't know why they didn't just play there.
They like playing out of bounds. They wanted to be in
no
for
rules.
No rules. But however, the Solar Babies didn't want to play no rules. It was the goddamn Scorpions.
Yeah. Scorpions play dirty and they are because they're the Nazis. And Solar Babies win every time. You know, Solar Babies win.
I don't
so
know
much,
if that, but I don't know if that's
the
true.
Protectorate.
Well, yeah. I mean, he does say this is when they do explain the titular Solar Babies, which is right here when Charles Durning says, "Here we go. Just take a listen."
Odd name for a skateball team, don't you think? Solar Babies, soft, no menace. Why do you suppose they chose it?
They don't seem to need anything more menacing, do they? They always seem to win.
Not really that insulting to get that. And here's the thing I wanted to talk about.
So mean.
He puts his wand over flowers and kills them, but that wand never comes back into play.
No, ever. No, that it's a heat wand. We that never
gets
again.
Used again.
Yeah, great sound design, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Charles Durning sweating more than most in this post-apocalyptic no water
land. Because he came from a Earth, so like I feel like it's hotter. He came from the hotter planet.
What I'm also trying to realize, when you played the talking to the exposition at the beginning, I realized he's remembering 1,000 years in the past.
No, sorry. He's remembering 41 years or 42 years ago when we were in 2,986.
I got it. Okay.
So he does remember rain and water.
Well, he can have dreams about it. I've dreamed about things I've never done, but so I guess.
Okay.
Truly.
But the kids have no recollection. They couldn't.
No,
they don't even remember how they got rain. There.
Yeah, they read like Beverly Cleary fiction or something.
And that, let's talk about that scene. When these kids read the book about rain and then the orb, Bodai, produces rain, their reaction to it is so bizarre because you would think their first reaction would be like, let's drink this.
Yes.
Because
quick, anything that can capture this,
and
capture
it. And let's save it. Let's not let it fall on the ground.
Yes.
Let's get it. Let's get containers ASAP.
Exactly.
Take your hats off. Take your shirts off. Let's capture this water.
Yes. This is the most precious thing that it is existing in the year 41.
Nope. We're going to kick it.
Let's dance.
We're kick.
Let's dance and kick. And
we're
also,
basically
going to
do a bad number from Step Up 3.
Yeah, and nobody seems surprised that... I mean, there's a surprise that it's raining, but it seems like they do know that rain is possible. They've heard of it.
Yeah.
But there's no... Nobody is surprised that it's raining inside.
No.
Yeah. Right.
Well, James LeGros, like, even at the youngest of James LeGros age, still can't not be just an absolute dick in everything. Who I love. I love him. He is, like, the dick in everything is like, fuck you guys. And in this one, he's the one who's like, well, they must be drugging us.
Yeah.
This is a mass hallucination.
Which also makes no... Then why would they all... They would be wet, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also...
I love that idea.
They just want a shower. They're like, oh, good, we get the shower. It's like, why do you have expectations of showers when the protectorate controls all the water and you live in a waterless society?
Yeah.
They come back from their slave labor and they're like, God, I need a shower.
No, it's like, you should
and
all be
like,
very used to how you smell.
You stink.
It shouldn't
phase you.
They all stink, I would imagine. Hey, everybody, sorry for this ill-timed commercial break, but we gotta pay the bills. Here's the deal. I want to tell you about a sandwich. A sandwich that almost didn't get made. Wait a second, what are you talking about, Paul? Well, let me tell you. The geniuses over at Wendy's created a sandwich called the Jalapeno Fresco Spicy Chicken Sandwich, and they wanted to see what people thought. They gave it to focus groups. People tasted it and said, oh no, it's delicious, it's flavorful, but it's too hot! It's too hot. The flavors are so good, but I can't stand it on my tongue. It's too hot. I can't bear it. Well, guess what? The people at Wendy's are like, thank you for your feedback, but guess what? We're taking it to the people. We want to see if the people tell us it's too hot. That's right. Wendy's is putting it in your hand. They think the sandwich is hot. Can you handle their sandwich? That's right. It is the Jalapeno Fresco Spicy Chicken Sandwich, and it is delicious. I'm talking about, you got that classic spicy chicken that Wendy's does so good. Plus, you got this Colby Pepper Jack cheese, plus fresh diced jalapenos, plus a toasted red jalapeno bun, and to top it all off, ghost pepper sauce. As we all know, ghost pepper is the hottest sauce
in the history of mankind. Can you put your mouth on this burger, taste the flavor, and stand the heat? If you can't stand the heat, then get out of the Wendy's kitchen. That's what I'm saying. But guess what? This sandwich may not be for everyone, but I think it is definitely for you. And if you really want to turn up the heat, get an order of the Wendy's Natural Cut Ghost Pepper Fries. These are fries flavored with ghost pepper. Oh man, oh man, oh man. You are going to give your mouth a flavor explosion that nut is not ready to deal with. It's like jumping out of a plane. The best experience in your life. But you're a little bit afraid to try it. So don't be afraid. Get to Wendy's because it's only available for a limited time. Try one for yourself and see if you can stand the heat. Hey everybody, just wanted to let you know that the second annual Howdies are coming up. That's right, it's the How Did This Get Made award show extravaganza. We'll be looking to you for help. If you want to help out, you can email us at howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com, or better yet, go to earwolf.com and look at the How Did This Get Made message boards. That's right, we'll have a very big conversation there about the Howdies. And right now, I'm making a firm, oh please, I'm begging you, I am absolutely begging you to please, 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 help us with supercuts and musical things. We need your help. If you want to make a supercut of something from the show, we would love to put it into our Howdies. If you're really good with music and you want to make a theme song, we would love to put it into our Howdies because you are the reason why we do this show. So we want you guys to help us out in any which way you can. That's How Did This Get Made at earwolf.com. Join us on the Earwolf message boards to talk Howdies on the How Did This Get Made message boards. That's right. And finally, do you like teens? Do you like high school? Do you like filthy teens? Well, guess what? You are in store for a real treat because I have a brand new show called Filthy Preppy Teens. That's right. It's a new parody show that I created with Curtis Gwynn and John Stern. These are the guys that I worked on NTSF with, and it's available only on the Full Screen app. That's right. The Full Screen app is a brand new way to watch TV. You download it, and you can actually even have a social media experience. At any point, you can pause the screen, send it out to one of your friends. But this show is about teens in high school. They're sexy. They're murdering people. Instead of teen wolves, we got a teen leprechaun. Instead of like the hot girl, we have a girl in a coma that everyone wants to get with. That's right. It's called Filthy Preppy Teens. It's available on fullscreen.com or just download the app, Filthy Preppy Teens. I think you'll like it. Plus, the first month is free. So why not?
Go, well, I want to talk about the solar babies and their bad ideas, because then they decide, oh, we got this cool orb. Let's go, like, break it.
Let's go play skateball with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
To which...
Well, they think that it wants to play, which is
well,
pretty
cool.
Well, it does
have cool. a personality, yeah. It's very coquettish at points.
Yeah.
The ball... Well, I'll be honest. The ball is a flirt. It like flits around between all the solar babies, giving everybody its attention.
Make no mistake, if you have not seen this movie, the ball does not talk. It is only
no, but it vocalizes.
People give monologues to the ball.
Oh yeah,
Hamlet-style monologues, and they tell you it's like when Han Solo talks to Chewbacca. You get what the ball is saying, but the ball doesn't even.
But you know how it feels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a testament to good acting.
Yeah. And also such good acting to convey to the audience that, hey, maybe we'll win the skateball tournament that this is definitely heading towards
yep.
with this ball that's magical. But no.
Nope. But that's like a real bonding moment for them, is when they let the, when they let the ball out and they play with it. Because that's what's necessary.
And then
yeah.
Do something that I would argue also like seems slightly racist when it gets to the one kid.
Slightly.
Rabbit.
No applause.
Yeah.
Rabbit.
Is his name Rabbit?
Rabbit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rabbit. Rabbit's like, I don't want to play skateball with it. I'm gonna just start breakdancing
yeah.
with the ball and like
breakdancing. Beatboxing and doing like basketball moves with it.
Yeah.
Like all three at once.
Well, if we're about to watch it, I don't want to. He also calls it Bodhi.
Yeah.
And they correct him and he goes, "You talk how you talk and I'll talk how I'll talk."
Let's just.
And you're like, hey man, did you just accidentally say Bodhi? It's okay.
Yeah.
He just like doubles down. No. Yeah. I say, I sounds as ease. Yeah.
By the way, that kid never wears a shirt either. Like there's a shirt. Like two of them are always shirtless.
And oh, this the rest whole are... movie feels like the buildup of a gay porn. Like that's
this
what's
is
gonna
happen.
The
interesting thing about the movie, and I was trying to figure this out. How old do they have to be to stay or to walk out of the orphanage? Or do they ever?
Because
I think they join the military of
E-cops?
The protectorate, right? I think they join ECOPs. I think that's what you're training to do.
So the scorpion who gets promoted, I guess, the rapist.
The bad, like...
Yeah.
The blonde, yeah.
The blonde rapist. Does he... So that's just his trajectory, everyone's trajectory.
It's like, that's why rubber suit Nazi trench coat... is like, oh, you're the guy for me.
Yeah.
We're going to put you on the fast track.
We're going to get you into one of those motorcycles with two sidecars.
It did seem to
slow it down.
and laser guns that don't kill, that just like stun people, it seems like.
Yeah.
That's, and there's no lethal force, really.
Except for the fucking solar babies.
Yeah.
The solar babies... kill
a guard
and are psych. No, watch this montage
and that robot at the end.
Here, well, no,
the
it's
robot.
A lot more.
The robot's got it coming.
Take a listen to all the solar baby kills. We'll talk about this scene that everyone's looking at right now. But the solar babies kill with reckless abandon and are psyched about it. This is a montage of their greatest kills. Cheer.
Skate, skate, skate.
You forgot your boot.
They tied two people to a car, send them out to die.
Take it easy, fellas.
Yeah, take it easy.
Like, that is a death sentence.
Yes.
Come on, let's get him.
Say hello to Sparky.
Hello.
Let's move.
Oh, this is wild. Lucas Haas is just watching.
I better go.
That is how a very powerful fetish gets created.
Yeah.
The solar babies are straight up murderers.
Yeah. Like the most efficient murderers. Like none of them are ever even hurt, really. Like,
and
they go up
like,
against the army, the other team, like all the members of the, like everybody. They can't get touched once.
And no remorse. There's never a moment where like, oh, we just killed those two guards. It's like, yeah. Ha-ha,
or
yes.
Like, they're never like, don't let the kids see us murdering people. The kid's like, get him! What does he say to the guys they send into the desert? Like, have a good time,
yeah,
or whatever.
Have a nice trip, yeah. And see you later, dummies! Like,
yeah, you're gonna be dead in days, you idiots.
My other really big complaint about the solar babies is that, aside from the like nerd solar baby, there's no difference between any of them. Like, I don't know what makes one solar baby him or what makes one solar baby her. They're just all
Yeah, there's
solar
no personalities.
There's
the only thing that I could kind of draw was that Peter DeLuise, you know, Peter.
is he the one that I also think is Jason Patrick?
He's the one that looks fatter
Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
There's two guys.
I disagree with
there's
that.
Two guys that I never knew who they were.
Yeah.
Jason
Patrick,
a lot alike.
You could tell because they called him Jason.
Yes.
So they were like, he's very
Rabbit.
Difficult.
Rabbit was like, look, I'm calling him Jason.
You call
but he has
him
a character
name.
You call him his character name. I'm gonna call him Jason Patrick.
Well, and again, not to play so many clips back to back, but I think this is worthy that. I think because the characters had no delineation, they just say their names a million times. And this is a little name montage here.
Jason, Metra, Rabbit, Terra, and Todd.
Where's Daniel?
Where's Daniel?
Rabbit.
Terra.
Daniel!
Jason!
Jason! Jason! Jason!
Terra!
Jason! Hey, Jason! Come on,
Jason.
Daniel.
Metron.
Metron!
It's Jace!
Metron.
Rabbit.
Metron.
Jason.
Daniel's gone.
Daniel.
Rabbit! Run, Jason, run!
Daniel.
All right, Daniel.
Tom!
Rabbit!
Rabbit!
Tara!
Jason! Daniel!
Metron!
Tara!
Daniel!
Come on, Daniel!
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 Jason! Where's Tara?
Tara?
Oh, Tara!
Tara!
Jason!
Tara!
Oh, Daniel!
Tara!
This is Jason.
Jason.
And Rabbit. This is Metron. Tug. Oh, that's Daniel.
Jason.
Daniel.
Daniel.
Tara.
Daniel.
Come on, Tara. Come on, Tara. Where's Daniel? Daniel!
Daniel! Be careful, Daniel!
Jason!
Jason, come on!
Jason!
Hey, Jason!
Jason! Jason! Daniel! Follow Daniel!
Tara! 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 Tara!
Oh, that's great. You can watch that on Movie Bitches on YouTube. That is, yeah, that's a lot of names. But yeah, they aren't, there's no personalities. Jamie Gertz is the girl.
Oh, love her.
Great.
I love Jamie Gertz, like unabashedly, like one of the great, my favorite, like 80s teen movie stars.
She's
like
great.
The best.
And she's great, but can we talk about what happened to her bangs?
Yeah.
After?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we can.
After she took
off, after she took off that hat. She took off that hat
okay,
and had like 80s bangs.
Okay.
This is
the craziest thing about that moment because I know she's in that. I don't really know why they all got in garbage bags and witches' hats.
They all put on disguises. They all put on disguises, at which point everybody was like, oh, they've disappeared. We can't find them.
Yeah, we can't find the group of five kids that travel on roller skates.
And then inexplicably, they just took their disguises off and people were like, there they are.
Okay, but that's a comedic moment to take off your witch's hat, or it was like a half hat. I don't know what the fuck it was.
It was like a garbage bag that was frayed.
Okay, to take it off and then to have your bangs
straight up.
Stand straight up. I mean, it was a wall of bangs.
I mean,
it was.
Arguably, it was just like something about Mary. I mean,
it was that. It was insane. And but then they played it out
for like three scenes. It was crazy that she kept it beyond when she just took off the hat. And I wonder if they shot it, the first thing, and her bangs were just like that, and they realized they'd done it, and we're like, oh, well, I guess continuity, guys. She wouldn't have done anything, you know.
No one runs their hands through their hair, so we should just keep it.
Yeah, we have to. Okay, so she's going to have that for two more scenes. And then it became a very popular hairstyle. Oh.
Well, so
Gertz,
Jamie Gertz. I worked at a Blockbuster Video growing up, and I ran a fake autograph signing for a girl that I thought was cute. That was Jamie Gertz. I was like, why don't you pretend like you're Jamie Gertz, and we'll run an autograph session here at Blockbuster. And then people got fake Jamie Gertz autographs.
Okay, I have to say the tales of this your time at Blockbuster. It was like
that is fraud.
The animals were out of the zoo. Were there any managers at this Blockbuster?
There was a really cool manager.
I also never remember an autograph signing at a Blockbuster.
Nope.
Like, that would be a very weird event. The one I went to had no staff. You would just, like, eventually walk out with the movie.
My dad brought me to an autograph signing at a Blockbuster for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Who was there?
The three kids, not Rick Moranis.
At which point you were like, someday I will work here.
What? Someday I will do this, but fraud.
Are you sure? By the way, are you sure it was the three kids?
Yeah, by the way.
I actually have the thing. It's like, it looks like a placemat of the three kids' faces on it. It's like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Oh. And I have all three of their autographs on it.
That's amazing.
I'll fucking sell it to anybody. Come on.
Don't sell your childhood, Paul.
If you got the money, money talks, bullshit walks.
Oh,
come on,
God.
People. I got a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
I feel like it's really weird that this show has like devolved to you just trying to sell personal belongings. Like I've also got a lawnmower that I'm not using anymore. Yeah. Just like a swap shop segment.
I got DVD player, a good one.
Not Blu-ray, HD DVD.
It's really good.
It
really
was
good.
The better.
Smart DVD. So then... That's when this movie, I mean...
Here's my biggest problem with this movie. I don't know how long this movie takes place as a period over. For example, Adrian Pazdar, who is the guy who has the owl, who steals Bodhi and runs into the desert.
By the way, he's a 45-year-old man.
Yes, yes. Not yet married to Natalie Maines, but yes, a full-grown adult man living in the orphanage. Has an owl and birds talk to him. He steals the magical orb.
Wait, birds talk to him?
They come to him.
Yeah.
He draws a thing in the sand. Birds land. Kids gather around, very impressed. But they're much more impressed by a guy just kicking the sand. Like, he's, like, charmed the birds into landing right on his sand drawing of birds. But then this other guy's like, fuck you. And they're like,
Bully,
that was cool how the birds landed, but that was legitimately awesome when you kicked the sand. He's also so clearly has magical powers. Why would you ever piss off a guy that?
But then we also, I believe, are meant to like him. He steals Bodhi. He goes into the desert. They chase after him, blah, blah, blah. At a certain point, though, he is just working in Tire Town. He, like, has a job in the
Tire Town. They're, am I like, crazy, or are they like, where are we? And then they look up and they go, Tire Town. Yeah.
Right? At which point, like, the whistle blows. He comes out of the mine or whatever he's been doing. Their faces are all over the place. Yeah. He gets a bottle of water. Their faces are all over the news. Like, these are wanted escapees from...
It wasn't news. It seemed like just, like, it was such a bizarre way to present. Like, it was...
But how long does he... How long has he had a job? And then the same thing happens. They lose track. The Tire Town blows up. They think that Gertz is dead. They skate around the desert for a while. And finally, they come across her in the middle of the desert. She's like, I live here.
Yeah.
Like, this is my father. I'm just happy here. Yes.
This is my father. We're in an oasis now.
Oh, we're the royal family from Spaceballs. Yep. Didn't you know that?
Wait, how long is this?
That's my problem with the movie is that it's like there's like too many messiahs. Like, Bodhi is some sort of messiah, obviously. He's been, you know, Charles Durning asks, is this true? Have you heard about this?
I don't know.
Then Lucas Haas, I'm sort of like, okay, he's the one that found Bodhi, so he's kind of the messenger of Bodhi. But then Owl Boy is clearly the messiah. But then Jamie Gertz is like, She's also the messiah.
But then at the end, Bodhi breaks up, and then they all become messiahs because they're like, now we have him.
You know what's amazing? You know who's not the messiah? Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
Who is arguably the leader of their group. He is like the hero of the movie.
He seems to have no powers or no distinct skills.
He's a for real zero.
Well, what's really strange is that he doesn't join the eco-warrior movement.
No, they're like, we're out of here.
I think we're primed for that at some point, that he's going, and I guess maybe he does become an eco-warrior in his own way.
How?
Well, he does end up fighting for water and for the resources of the people. So
I think he's just a hothead, though. I think he'd fight for whatever, you know?
I think he just wants to fight.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Outside of, I'm confused about how this government works, because entire town, what are they mining for exactly?
Tires?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got to dig up all the old tires.
I think it is a tire-based economy. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I think it might be that.
They're making tires, but it doesn't seem like anyone's really using
them.
They're
not putting them on cars.
No.
I just don't understand what
maybe Tire Town is suffering due to the roller skate boom.
Maybe
it's like no one's gonna go around on roller skates.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Self-sustained town, though.
I mean, that's why they're making motorcycles with two sidecars. Is they're like, how many fucking tires can we get on a vehicle?
Maybe they're taking old car tires and turning them into tiny roller skating tires.
And then just roller skating around that town.
Oh yeah, up and down. They roller skates. It seems to be like how they travel.
Solar babies seem to travel like that, but everybody else...
Yeah. Oh, no, no.
It's not a Mad Max thing where... I don't think there's a fuel shortage, no?
No.
Yeah.
It seems like there's plenty of fuel.
Right.
Oh, yeah, and they've got desert cars that they drive, like the Nazi party.
Yeah.
They drive around in desert cars. They're not
on skates.
But
I guess my question is, do you think everyone else is coming to Tire Town for their tires, purchasing them there, and then leaving?
No, to me, Tire Town...
Tire Town is in the middle of nowhere.
Right, I think they manufacture tires, or they dig up tires from the ground, they mine for tires, and then they send them to whatever the capital of the protectorate, a.k.a. the system, is.
So like they're okay. Like yeah, they're doing because a lot of the
and then
the,
wait, sorry, last question. So they send them, and I'm assuming they're paid for those tires.
Not well.
Yeah, they
and
appear
then,
to be paid in bottles of water.
Then they're paid in water. Is yeah. that how this whole thing is running?
It is a water-based.
Yeah, because wherever you go, you can promise people water if they catch the solar babies. Yeah. That has currency everywhere.
Yeah, and the okay, guys, great. The bounty hunters. Okay, I had a wait, question about the bounty. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I want to say, like, so I think, are they digging for tires? Like, and they're
yeah.
like, go
yes.
dig.
Yeah.
Just go find more tires.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are
yeah.
There,
yes,
like,
they are.
Is yep. it that kind of thing where, like, oh, 500 years ago, this used to be a tire dump, and then this desert grew over it, so now we have to dig in to get to the tires?
Sometimes I still dream of when tires were not underground.
It's a metaphor.
I don't like my job
when
very
they were
much.
Already, when they were already made.
I always wanted to be... like a dentist assistant, but I work at the orphanage.
You want to like you want to talk about the bounty hunters? Which
I wanted to talk about the bounty hunters only because I was really wondering this. At a certain point, the bounty hunters they catch the solar babies.
Well, can we even talk about how they're introduced Home Depot style?
Yeah,
they're hanging outside the Nazi headquarters, going, "Hey, hey, I'm an assassin!
Yeah.
Hey, you need an assassin? Yeah. Come on, hire me! I'm a good assassin!"
Yeah.
Like it's like driving into a Home Depot full of bounty hunters.
Yeah,
like, and the guy later on is like the bad guy is like. Go get me those two ragtag assassins out front.
It would be like going to Home Depot and Boba Fett was out front.
Yeah. Remember the guys who delivered the barbecue? Get them. Also, what kind of Nazis outsource their violence?
Right?
Like, Nazis love violence. That guy killed a plant for fun.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't he? And he has a personal vendetta against the solar base.
Almost everyone does, though. There is a point where it's like everyone in the Protectorate is looking for the solar base.
Here's the thing. Here's why. Okay. Here's
and you'd argue
thing.
They are the easiest to find.
They
absolutely.
Are so trackable. You know why? Because they're roller skating through the fucking desert. They're leaving a trail. They're making no effort to conceal their tracks from the orphanage to wherever they are now.
And
there is
children.
A straight line that you can follow.
Yes. You ever see like a child walk?
That's what this movie is. They don't ever clean up behind themselves.
You know when you see a child walking down the street alone and you're like, that's weird. Imagine if all children lived in one orphanage, then we're not allowed to leave. It'd be super weird to see a kid rollerblading
around.
Five
kids never split yeah. up.
Well,
on
granted, most of them are adults.
Yes.
Here's my thing.
Two
about
of them are gay for pay porn actors. One of them is four.
And one of
shirts off on the sink. Shirts off.
And one of them is one of Dom DeLuise's sons. Not
is
the
he?
One.
Is he actually
yeah,
a, he's a DeLuise. Of the DeLuises?
Yeah.
That's why he probably
of the laughing till horse DeLuises? Boy, who's the mother that boy turned out like that? Who's the mother, I ask?
I'm not sure. Brother to Michael DeLuise, who played Luke's sister's husband on Gilmore Girls. Also, Kelly Bishop in this movie. Emily Gilmore in like one scene.
Gilmore Girls not
yeah, nerds. Don't think I'm not gonna notice Gilmore Girls connections in this shit.
I did want to
say. I looked it up, which DeLuise, I was like, is that the Gilmore Girls DeLuise? No, it is not.
If I ever have a daughter and she gets married, my toast at the wedding is going to be Jamie Gertz's father's speech. And I'm going to enter that way in that outfit with a beard and I'll go, long ago there was a great iceberg.
There was something to the introduction of him as her father felt wrong to me. It felt like
they
there
felt
was,
like they were dating.
Yeah. And there was something
he
too,
was
like,
touching
fertile.
Her too fondly.
It was
yeah,
also
there was
the most
too fertile about the environment and mm-hmm. just like everybody's got wet hair and it was
yeah.
just like
it's also the most introduction of any character. He like is he perfectly enters.
He also
he's like, I did 5 Bible pictures in the 50s. I know how to enter.
It really is exactly what you're saying. He is introduced as a Christ-like figure. He looks like Christ, beard, robes,
and you think,
all of it.
Oh, now
and he's in
found.
The he's in the cave.
He's
painting.
In the oasis. Yeah, he's in the painting.
The
yeah,
one
yeah.
that looks like an anti-violence mural in San Pedro or something. It's like this bright pastel. Like, look at this ancient cave painting, and it's like a Selena mural. It was like done yesterday.
No, but why does he that oasis that's sitting there? So he just. he's not willing to fight for everyone.
No, because they lost too many people, I think.
They found their desert iceberg, and they're fine with it. Their underground desert iceberg, and they're cool. I wanted to talk... Let's watch his dad walk in.
Just please. This is my favorite moment.
Water. Hey, running water.
Water comes right out of the rock.
No, it comes from here. This is called ice.
Thousands of years ago, a giant glacier was trapped under a lava flow. As it melts, it feeds the springs that make our oasis.
They kiss.
This is
Green Tree.
I don't like that.
Not right.
He's my father.
What?
Ooh, no.
She nuzzles.
Rabbit knows that's wrong.
Rabbit's like, say it however you want. That does not look good.
Call it Bodhi or Bodhi. That shit is wrong.
Also, a second later, he brings out another child. It seems that he moved on.
Yeah.
Rather quickly.
My only assumption is that he has not seen Jamie Gertz for her entire life. She does not remember him.
Yeah, who is this fucking rich guy that lets his daughter live in Orphanage 43, where the warden doesn't like his job?
Oh, see, I figured she was, like, taken away and he couldn't get to her or something.
So are you not allowed to have your kids in the protectorate, maybe?
That's what I'm guessing.
But by the way, he's a famous dude. She's got the tattoo on her hand. Wouldn't you, like, the electorate or protectorate be like, hey... We should maybe do something with her.
Here's one thing I'll ask in addition to that. She has the tattoo on her hand of the Oasis people, but she arrived at the orphanage as a baby, so someone tattooed a baby's hand. Somebody was like, oh, this 8-month-old needs a green tattoo.
By the way, very hard to do. It's the best time to do it. It's like piercing ears. You got to do it early.
Got to do it early. It. Yep.
Also, it's like a hand stamp at Webster Hall or something. Yeah. That is the wackest tattoo.
So... I don't know. I'm now thinking maybe the children aren't allowed in the...
Yeah.
Under the laws of the protector.
I think all children are raised in these orphanages to fight for the protectorate, sadly.
That's terrible.
No, it really just took a turn there.
It's not cool.
That's terrible.
Thank God the solar babies are here to easily access every military facility on the globe, apparently, without any interruption.
They literally walk into the main room at the end. The doors is open. There is no security code to break nothing.
They go through the front gate, go through two doors. First, they find Adrian Pazdar. He's like, hey, guys. And they're like, well, okay, we'll bust you out. Then the next door they go into, oh, here's the room where Bodhi is. As if in this giant, like, damn factory crazy villain lair, there was basically three rooms.
Well, I guess
and
it
a ladder.
Also, though, begs the question, you know, I know it's only been 41 years, but at a certain point, these children in the orphanage are going to have to reproduce and create other children, otherwise the population can't continue.
Well, blonde guy is trying to get laid
hard. He definitely is.
He's trying real hard.
He definitely is, but if they're all becoming...
I'm going to go rape that girl with the shovel. Oh, okay. You're going to use the shovel next time.
No shovel.
But they don't have any plan to, you know, keep the human race going, really.
No,
so
they
your
really...
problem is that the movie lacked a more potent sexual energy for the teens?
No, but it's like, I do agree, the Protectorate has no plan.
Correct.
Again, Owlboy, that is a magical person, you know? Like,
and they are very
sexual. At least hook him up to machines and exploit him.
I do want
when
to talk
they go
about...
to the desert town where, what's the name
Indian
of his
reservation?
People?
What's the name of his people?
Chakotay.
When they go to the Chakotay village in the middle of the desert, those people are horny as fuck. They are just like all grinding on each other all the time before they all get shot up.
They're fucking in front of wax sculptures of the Wolfman.
Right.
I did have a question about that though. Like they kill, you know, the blonde rapist kills the owl and then it dies. And he's like, yeah, killed it. And he's like whipping it around by its feet. So it's like, then the solar babies come. And then the guy, the Native American guy is, or whatever, the Chicani, is hiding behind a good thing, watching them bury his owl. So
did he stay there for that, or did he already leave? Had he already left?
He stayed there, but
he watched. Okay.
But he didn't bury his like. It seemed like the solar.
Yeah, bury your own owl, man.
Yeah. Like, it seemed like the solar babies came a lot later. He's like, you know what? What if I leave it out here and wait until someone comes? If they bury it, then we're gonna be cool.
I also felt like the solar babies. It was a really nice funeral for that owl.
Oh yeah,
and it almost seemed strange. Like they
wasn't one of them.
He wasn't one of them.
He was like, but they were cool with him. they were at the orphanage.
Totally
they were cool,
cool
with
him.
Adrian
it just
Pastor.
Seemed like a very spiritual and sacred
yeah.
ceremony for this owl. I was surprised.
Before we thank our sponsors, let's give a shout out to all of you who donated money to us for no reason other than you love us and you want to keep the lights on. We really appreciate it. And because of that, I'm going to give you special shout outs right now. Andrew Ruth. Andrew Ruth gave us $100. $100 that he got by working with his hands. Where? In the coal mine. This man mined for coal with his hands. He got $100 and he gave it to How Did This Get Made? Thank you, Andrew Ruth, a true American hero. Thank you to Tikan Ruggles. Tikan Ruggles, I may be pronouncing your name wrong, but I think that's the way you should pronounce it from here on in. Tikan Ruggles gave us $100, and it's not because he sold babies on the black market. He wants to be very firm about that. Those days are behind him. Tikan Russell Ruggles is not Tikan Russell. Tikan Ruggles sounds like a character in a Nickelodeon show that was produced in the 90s, and I love him. Thank you for that $100. Mallard Storm and Dirty Waters, they could have donated $50 each, but they said, let's pool together to get one mutual shout out. And what I say to you, Mallard Storm and Dirty Waters, is fly, fly away to a place where friends go up in heaven. You give your money together. That's Mallard Storm and Dirty Waters. He's a duck man and he's a dirty water. Go together as friends in charity. Thank you for the $100. A big old thanks to Sean Jones. That's right, Sean Jones could be a rapper name. We don't know. He gave us $100. And Sean Jones, here's a special message for you. Sean Jones has the biggest penis I've ever seen. Sean Jones. Hey, everybody. Did you know that Comedy Bang Bang is going on a sold-out tour? That's right. 19 tour stops, 22 performances, all of them completely sold out. I guess you can't listen to any of them. Wrong! You totally can. And how can you do it? Just check out howl.fm. That's right, howl.fm, that's H-O-W-L.fm, is like Netflix for podcasts, okay? It is curated, amazing content that you can't get anywhere else, totally ad-free, and from people like the amazing people on the Comedy Bang Bang Tour. That's right. Every single episode of the Comedy Bang Bang Tour will be available on howl.fm. I'm talking about Paul F. Tompkins, Lauren Lapkus, Neil Campbell. They'll all be along for the ride in every different city doing shows that are a one-time only show. I have done some Comedy Bang Bang live shows, and they are the most fun to do. So you're in store for a really great treat. So in addition to the 2016 live tour, you're also going to get 42 more Comedy Bang Bang specials with exclusive access to more than 120 hours of original miniseries, audio documentaries, and 90 comedy albums. Plus, there's new episodes and new albums released every single week. And how much for all of this amazing content? $4.99. Get the fuck out of here! $4.99. Get the fuck out of here! No, I can't. It is totally true. $4.99 for all of this amazing content. Plus, if you use the promo code HDTGM, you get a full month for free. That's right. Use the promo code HDTGM. That's our initials. How did this get made? For a full month free. Remember, hear all of Comedy Bang Bang Live Tour, along with dozens of original audio miniseries and comedy albums. Go to Howl, H-O-W-L.fm. That's Howl.fm. And use the promo code HDTGM for 1 month free.
Let's go into the audience here. Let's see if the audience has any points of view that we may not have talked about here. If you have a question, raise your hand. And obviously the title of this movie was odd because it really, they are solar babies, but it would lead you to believe it's about the team. What is
And also it lacks menace.
Yes. Oh, tremendous. What would you say the title of this movie should be? And what is your question?
Glowing Balls of Fury.
I like that. That's good. And what's your question?
Okay, so this movie was released in theaters the same day as Star Trek IV, in which a probe comes to Earth, releases a glowing orb
Not
that sucks up all the water, where Kirk has to go back. I'm sorry, this is really nerdy.
No, I know all this.
Yeah.
I do.
Where Kirk has to go back in time, find some whales, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What if this movie is the alternate reality or alternate ending of Kirk's mission failing, going back in time?
I like this question because I love Star Trek. 99% of you are like, fast forward. Great question. It is a great question. Did you guys have
fast
that thought?
It was more of a statement, but it was fascinating. It was.
We'll take it.
I've not seen Star Trek 4.
What? Come on, it's so good.
Is it?
They
is
have
it?
To cover up Spock's
ears. The description
ears.
I just heard sounded terrible.
Yeah. You know what it sounded like? It sounded like, have you seen Solar Babies?
So, unless I am forced to, by the rationale of this prison sentence of this podcast, watch that movie, I suspect, based on your description, sir, that I will not.
He's leaving. There's a lot more jokes in Star Trek 4, like Scotty tries to use the computer,
oh, that's
and he
good.
Picks up the mouse, and he goes, "Hello, computer." And the guy's like, "Just use the mouse." You know, it's great. It's a great movie.
Oh, classic
great.
Scotty.
Do you have a question right here?
Just an old Scottish actor.
It was he's a character man. He
there's a
even,
lot more jokes in this one. That's a good sell for Star Trek.
Finally, they get to the humor. Your title, your question.
My title would probably be like Sand Goonies. I kind of got a Goonies vibe from the movie.
You know, I thought that too. Sand Goonies is great.
And can we talk about that?
This guy's wearing a hat that says The Goonies.
Oh. Yeah.
Can we talk about that robot that was programmed to enjoy? It's...
Yeah.
Terminex. Terminex, the most bulky looking...
Robot. Yeah, it looked like the robot from... God. Lost in Space. It looked like the robot from Lost in Space, basically.
And by the way, there's no way you could program a robot to enjoy something.
Right.
I mean, you could program a robot to, you know...
You're thinking like somebody from year 21.
I guess I am. I'll tell you this much. I didn't like that idea. I'm like, I don't want any of these robots having any emotions.
I will just show you a picture of this robot. The robot is the most bold. I mean, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be so precise. They brag about how precise.
It's basically a
it's
giant
just a drill.
Drill bit.
Yeah. It's a drill. It's a drill with a head.
And it's like, it could take an eye out of a bird. It's like,
yeah.
I don't even know how that thing's fucking catching a bird.
It could bury an owl.
So
it plays center at skateball.
Sir, your title and your question.
Title is, it's the desert, but there's roads everywhere.
Like that? Did you write down notes on an IKEA brochure?
Yes, I did.
All right, great.
Get a pad of paper, bro.
Okay, that's an IKEA PS he purchased. Okay, yes, your question.
Did anybody notice that the cars that the Nazis were driving looked like a mixture of Darkwing Duck and Darth Vader Hot Wheels?
Of course. Like, duh.
There is...
That's you, idiot. We all got that.
After Lucasfilm sold to Disney, they made like Matchbox cars. And they literally have a Darth Vader Matchbox, and it looks like a dragster. Like Darth Vader is getting in like a little speedster going around with his lightsaber. It's amazingly dumb. Yes, your name and your title and your question.
My name is Bree. Xanadu 2, Mad Max Fury Road for kids. I just wanted to point out when at the Chicani place, did you guys notice it was in front of the Xanadu? Hotel, nod to Xanadu.
You're right. It was in front of the Xanadu Hotel, which means it did take place in what used to be America.
Wait, really? I don't think the Xanadu Hotel is the hotel from Xanadu.
Really? Prove me wrong.
I would love it if they were part of a shared universe. I would love it if those movies are from the same universe.
What if Gene Kelly is the orb?
Ooh.
Gene Kelly is Bodai.
I love that.
Who has a hand up here? Okay, yes, your name, your question. Here we go. And your order, your title.
Matt, Starlight Express, Fury Road.
Great.
Yes.
Yes, he's right.
He's correct.
Of all of them, I agree with that one the most.
Yeah. Mm, yes.
How does Tara, when they're with at the Eco Warrior place, have the plans or blueprints for the bunker?
Say, what was it?
How does she have... She comes to them when they're leaving the Oasis with, like, painted on, like, an animal skin map to the bunker and to the inside of the bunker or whatever. Like, how does she have that is his question.
Yeah, how did they get blue... Do they make blueprints on animal skins?
Well, it's going to be answered in Solar Babies, Rogue One. It's about how they stole that map so that they would understand the aqua facility that the Protectorate operates at the dam.
Forrest Whitaker is supposed to be great in it.
Yep. I would love a precursor movie that explained that storyline.
All right, sir, your name, your title, and your question.
Jake, Roller Dummies, and I'm not convinced that Bodhi is good.
Bodhi,
sorry.
You hey, know. You know what?
Who are you, Rabbit?
You do you.
Hey,
no,
Rabbit?
You do you. You do you.
You will be.
You say it the way you want.
Is it? I mean, like as soon as the Solar Babies find him, they start killing. If he makes it like rain or whatever, we're under the assumption that like there was some sort of nuclear fallout. So anything that's coming down is like acid rain. It's going to be just poisoning everything it touches.
You scientist.
I think it's giving.
Hey,
possibly,
I'm talking to you. You scientist.
Creating.
You know that? You know that for sure? You know it's acid rain?
I'm just
guessing.
Those
are raining inside.
If yeah. If they showed this, if the movie went on for like another 2 months, there'd just be like
Wait,
people
the movie?
With tumors.
If the movie itself
little
lasted for 2 months?
Little glowing ball tumors creating more
I'm sure
photons.
A lot would happen. Think what happened in an hour 34.
I mean, like, oh my God, I'm 400 hours into this movie. It's blowing.
Good. It's really
blowing
good.
It's blowing my mind.
Bodhi is bad.
Wait until hour 800. It gets great.
It's fucking still half the length of the first Hobbit
this
movie.
This guy with his pro-protectorate propaganda coming in here like, Bodhi is very bad for the children. They shouldn't have rainwater.
Bodhi, has anybody thought that Bodhi and his rain might be nothing more than just left-wing claptrap?
Has anyone considered that scorpions are winners and what we need at this juncture?
Classic Bodhi denier.
Yeah.
And he called
Wait
him
a second.
Bodhi.
He
called
this him Bodhi. This makes total sense. I saw a motorcycle with two sidecars at the valet. So this is his car.
I saw a rubber coat at the coat check. Can we talk about the clothes really quickly?
Oh, yes, please.
Literally,
please.
Everyone is wearing fucking rags and like banana peels. And then Nazi guy has like one, like the most custom made coat. And then Angelica Houston is wearing a white blouse in a world that is only dirty.
Yeah.
Fake Angelica Houston's wearing, and it's like they're the only two people still getting up every morning and being like, I'm gonna make an
yeah.
effort.
She's also wearing a blouse that has like 6 inches of shoulder pads.
Yeah.
To the point where when I saw her body, I thought, oh, she's a heavy woman. And that's great.
And that's great.
And that's great.
And that's great.
And no problems here.
That's then, great for body image until her hands
great.
Catch fire.
Yeah.
Then.
And a child watches her die.
When they cut to that shot, I realized when you saw a full-length shot of her, she's very thin. She oh. just has
also
on...
Also great, which is also great.
Which is neither here nor... Fine with me. I don't care.
Again, Bodhi.
Yeah.
You do you.
Yes. Just trying to get a sense of this body.
No, because what she's wearing is like one of those 80s blousy kind of jumpsuity things that is like layered fabric, like pleats yeah. on pleats on pleats. Like it's all pleats, basically, which is, you know, like a real thing in a lot of these movies. That is like there's probably 75 feet of fabric on her body.
Absolutely.
And she conservatively weighs 100 pounds.
I do want to talk about what this guy brought up about the end, because the dam breaks. The next scene, there's
so many people must die.
Yeah.
So many people must die because they live where the water was and isn't anymore.
Yes.
And all of it comes through, kills hundreds of people.
But
I'm
then
guessing,
a thunderstorm starts as well.
Because of the dam breaking?
I think because of Bodhi.
But why couldn't he have just done that any time?
Why? Yeah, I agree with that. Because Bodhi seems to like spend a lot of time hanging around in people's backpacks and getting played with like a ball instead of doing what he's there to do.
Well, that's their fault.
Which is bring back, yeah. Which is reverse climate change.
Right.
Which is what we are doing to this world, which is why we're here talking about it
Look
tonight.
Look it up.
Look it up. We're about to do all of Al Gore's slideshow
well,
right now.
Listen, the thing about Bodai is that he, I think, responds to someone really asking him to do something.
Right.
Which is why the ending was a little confusing, because it didn't seem as though there was some energy with that, you know, headed his way, asking him to, you know,
it's a lot of confusing stuff, because I also feel like they're only protecting Bodai, and then at one point when Lucas Haas drops it, Jason Patrick's like, Daniel, no! Like, no, yeah pick it up. It's right there on the
Sacrifice
ground.
Sacrifice yourself for
Pick
Bodai.
Him up.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
be everybody's MO.
Pick
Bodai is the most important. Bodai is, in this movie, Harry Potter. Bodai is the one. Bodai is the lead character
but
in the movie, right?
But also, I felt like he dropped it at his feet, and it was like, we're done. We're got it. Yep. Run. Get out of here. Like,
let's all roll away in tires.
But see, here's the strange thing, though, about Bodai. There are times when, I mean, we know him as a ball. That's how we met him. But there are times where...
And that's how he ends. Like, from
well,
beginning
no,
to
no,
end.
Point, no. He's a dome. He's sort of a, oh, he's
a
sort of
ball.
Party
like
tent.
He can shapeshift. So if I'm Bodai, I'm just like, I'm releasing myself out of backpacks and just getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah. Like, why is Bodai allow himself to even be...
Because he's polite.
Yeah. Like, he's put into that contraption where the robot comes and the not fake Angelica Houston says that we're going to disembowel him. And it's a ball.
He's
yeah.
A
like, what
ball.
Do you mean you're going to disembowel him? Like, this is a straight up ball of energy right now that you've been hitting with lasers.
By the way,
you're not going to pull bowels out of it. That would be, I would have loved that. If the robot was like, bzzz, and like it just like all of a sudden Bodai, like his just asshole just fell out.
No.
Entirely.
They are not, they are such bad Nazis. They're not even curious about how to exploit any of these
right
amazing resources. Like if they found E.T., they would be like,
oh, let's fucking,
yeah.
fuck him in the ass.
Yeah.
Oh, let's
put
well,
a
let's
drill
beat the shit
head.
Out of him. Let's beat the shit out of him and take his money. Yes, you
bring him to me.
You have a title of the movie in your question? Who? Yes.
My name's Jessica. Oh, sand Nazis, I guess, for a title. I was going to talk about like when he was being tortured, why didn't Bodai just go to Stardust?
Yeah.
But since we already covered that, why in the orphanage, why is there roller skate training at all if they're being inducted into like the pro, the system and they don't have roller skates at any point in the military?
I think Charles Durning, because he's, you know, he doesn't like his job. I think he brought skateball to them to be like, look, these kids have to have something, you know? And then evil Nazi rubber suit was like, yeah, I'm in on that, but in a bad way. So
well,
I think they built the skate park. I mean, it is an orphanage. They were like, look, we got to give him fucking something.
And it
yeah, but
like
here's
that was
the weird thing about that skate session. You know, it's set up, I thought when they first skated in there, they're all going to be skating in the same way and doing, you know, some Nazi moves because there's all that Nazi video.
It's almost like videos of like Rodney King beating up on the screens.
But then, it's like a Macintosh ad.
But then it actually is just an all skate where everyone's just skating.
Oh, about the video screens during the all skate, during the kids skate. Like, are they matching what's happening?
Because
like when
be.
People fall, like the people in the video fall. Does that make sense?
I noticed that as well, but I think that was them trying to be clever filmmakers. I don't think that was supposed to be.
Well, then
oh, that was
succeeded.
The day they tried.
Yeah, I don't think that was supposed to be like mirroring.
The one day.
Yeah.
I don't think they were supposed to be mirroring the screens purposefully.
Right.
I do want to say about this audience. You guys have come very prepared. I've seen pages and pages of notes here, sir. Your title.
I
your
still
question.
Want somebody to start a Tumblr where everybody can post their nerd notes.
My name is Tim. The title would be Lost Boys Meets Witness.
Yes.
And
you guys need to decide who you like best.
My question's about the legal system. It's illegal to know where you're from. It's fiction is illegal.
Yes.
And if someone escapes from the orphanage, by law, you're required to surgically alter them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the surgically alter. That was a weird thing. She's like, we'll be surgically altered. In
See,
what
here's
way?
The thing. The most interesting things about the this society were just mentioned and we never saw. I mean, even them saying that the kids were medicated, it sounded like they probably were on some medication at some point and they thought they were taking meds that made them hallucinate. But there were references. I mean, I don't know what that could mean. I don't know if we saw people who were surgically altered. If so, I didn't
notice
it. We
never saw it come to fruition. That's certainly true.
I don't think so, unless it's underneath clothing.
So you think it's genital altering?
Genital in nature?
I don't,
sewing vagina shut?
I don't know that it's not.
Hey, Paul?
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
We were all
can you not,
it.
Do you not scream we were all sewing vaginas shut?
Calm down.
We were all thinking it, guys.
That none of us were.
Sewing buttholes, you know sewing what vaginas. We
Nobody
all
was, thinking
it was on
this.
The tip of everyone's tongue.
It was not at all.
100%.
But you came to you real quick.
This audience is right behind me here. They've all pictured a sewn butthole. Sir, your name, your title, and your question.
My name's Brian.
By the way, Brian... Who has Brian notepaper? Your name is at the top with a soccer ball on it.
It's from third grade.
With a soccer ball on it?
It is. It is like from third grade.
Where's my notepad?
It's Solar 20-somethings. And did anyone else think that Jamie Gertz's Messiah father looked like they put robes and a beard and long hair on Norm MacDonald?
Yes. Wow, one person did.
Get married.
Yes.
Get married. That is a yes. How did this get made love connection. Yes. Stand up.
Did you say Norm MacDonald?
Yeah, I didn't get that. I got more
can
Barry
I look
Gibb.
Again? Is it possible?
Yeah, we'll take a quick look. Barry Gibb to me was one
yep.
that, yeah.
By the way, I bet he does because you said it and someone jumped on it so quickly.
All right, here we go. We're going to take a look at this guy, but this is not going to be good for the people at home. Does that look like Norm MacDonald to you or Barry Gibb?
Barry Gibb. It's also like a little Richard Chamberlain-y.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Norm MacDonald, sir. But you two should definitely get together because you saw that
Oh,
together.
My question about the bounty hunters was this. So the bounty hunters find the solar babies. They find them wherever they are in the desert or whatnot. They grab them. They lash them to their cart. And the solar babies are like the horses that are pulling the bounty hunters' cart. Until they found the solar babies... How did that cart move?
Wow.
Great question.
They're in the middle of the... They're tracking the solar babies.
Right.
With nothing to pull a cart with. So is one of them constantly pulling the cart? Like, what's their life? What's that? I would watch a prequel movie or a side movie that's just the Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead of those two characters.
Are you pitching out a giant Marvel-like universe
yes.
stemming from Solar Babies?
All of it. Yes, Star Wars-esque universe in which there's a bounty hunter movie. There's a prequel movie about the map.
Does it all come back to Blazing Saddles?
It all comes back to Spaceballs, I think.
Oh, yes.
Paul, very excited about that idea.
Guys, I want to see more Spaceballs.
Wait, no, it's not. I thought Jamie Gertz was in Spaceballs for a second, but it's not.
No, it's Daphne Zuniga.
It is.
Here we go. If you have a comment that you want to talk to us about that we didn't cover and you're listening right now, you could call us at 619-PAUL. Ask, A-S-K, 619-PAUL-ASK. And
Paul,
you can leave,
are you sure it's not Paul Ass?
You know, a lot of people have been asking for that. No, it's not Paul Ass. That's a different number for something very different. And if you do call that number, I will tell you it's confidential. And whatever we do is in the privacy of our house. So you can leave things like this.
Hi, Paul. My name is Aaron, and I just wanted to chime in on June's distaste for man flexibility, and I'm right there with her. I think that there is something to the stretching of one's taint and balls that is just unpalatable, and I fully support June. Also, June and I both don't really love buns. And I think that also has something to do with the distaste for seeing a man in full 180-degree splits.
So that is someone commenting on June's lack of your distaste for man flexibility. So there you go.
It's great. I mean, I think there's a lot more ladies out there
who are afraid to come forward. To support your anti-buns, anti-flexibility movement?
I wouldn't wouldn't say I'm anti-buns. I just think, I think the movie and TV industry think women are super into buns. And yeah. I don't think we are.
Wow. Controversial. Very controversial.
Well, obviously, we have a lot of opinions about buns, about splits. Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are other people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions.
We've heard from Jason, June, and Paul, but we've yet to hear from all of the online critics that disagree this movie's crap. It's time for Second Opinions. It's time for Second Opinions.
Yeah!
What's your name, sir?
John.
Give it up for John.
Great work.
Very good.
Great work.
These are...
Remix that, internet.
These are five-star opinions culled from Amazon. Here we go. First one from Robin B. McGoran. Wonderful story. And the cast did a magnificent job to make this worthwhile entertainment. I rated this an A-plus grade for being very different and a wonderful movie for the entire family to sit and watch. I don't think there are many around as enjoyable as this one.
There are literally tens of thousands.
You want to know more? I'm not going to spoil it for you. Why don't you retreat to the lounge room, put on the television, grab the popcorn, relax to the greatest entertainment this show can produce and enjoy.
Does she live in the year 41? She speaks in 41 speak. Go to the lounge room.
There was a lot of like fake lingo. You know, they'd be like, let's accelerate. Or as somebody said at one point, somebody goes, you believe all that dog squeeze they tell us in class?
Dog squeeze is my favorite.
You believe all that dog squeeze? What? Like, that's obviously like dog shit, but they were like, we can't say shit. There's kids in the movie. They can murder people.
We can light a lady's hands on fire and then electrocute her to death.
We can have them commit the act of murder, irrevocably taking a human life, but we cannot have them hear shit.
And this is right here. This is from Kermiton. He wrote, as a 75-year-old man purchasing this DVD.
Whoa.
This is already an Amber Alert.
Purchase.
This is already an Amber Alert.
Whoa.
As a 75-year-old man purchasing this DVD because I just saw a quick view and it caught my attention, so I purchased it and found out it had a good story, smart young people, and a good production. Take a chance on this one. And anyway, if you don't like it, just give it to a kid that you don't like.
Ooh. No.
A nasty old man.
That is like that is a pedophile's review. Like, for sure.
I saw a quick view of it and bought the DVD.
You know, he's just like on the internet just searching around and he's like, yeah, here's a good quick view. Here we go. This is from Elisa Rosales. If you like sci-fi, you'll like this. It was a movie from my childhood, and I wish there were more movies to access from that time period. Five stars.
Nope.
1986 was this movie. Oh, you can't find any movies.
You can't find anything.
It's impossible. There's no way to know.
And I thought this was worth playing here. It's the first ever video second opinion.
Oh my God. I didn't know this was possible.
Yes, it is indeed. And here we go. And it's so sweet and lovely. Here we go.
I was really excited to receive Solar Babies in the mail. I had totally forgotten that I ordered it. And then I went on vacation and then I got back and it was here. And I really enjoyed watching the movie because it is a good childhood movie. But I had forgotten so much of it and it really brought back a lot of really good memories.
Oh my gosh.
The
my God.
Sweetest...
Oh my
Solar
gosh.
Babies is good memories for him.
Like, but he can't remember any of it.
He had forgotten a lot of it.
And he had forgotten he ordered it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk of how they purchased it.
But you know what it is?
Here's what happened.
He should go...
There was a link. A hyperlink. for a website selling DVDs.
It's not like you read the New York Times and like theater critics are like, well, first of all, I had to go to the box office.
Yeah.
I don't like seats in the orchestra. I go for rear mezzanine.
But I think
I had bought the
this...
tickets and I didn't realize it was Tuesday. Someone told me, hey, I know you just got back from vacation, but it's Tuesday.
I do think for him, though, a lot of his review has to do with the fact that he just got back from vacation.
Yeah.
It's that feeling of like, oh, the good days are over. Like, I'm back to the grind.
Oh,
and
see,
then there's
I feel very differently.
Surprise for him.
I feel like a doctor could diagnose a neurological disorder with this video of a man who cannot remember the movie from his childhood, who doesn't remember ordering it, like has like severe, in like 1.5 minutes, severe memory problems.
Also, like Stanley Kubrick, like framed, he's like
perfect.
Between two doors.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah. It's center point focus.
He's
it's perfect.
Perfectly centered, yep, between two white doors, and he can't remember how he got there.
If you want to find out more about Solar Babies, you can go to slashfilm.com. There will be a brand new article written by Blake J. Harris there. He will get into it for another one of his oral histories. Anything to add before we wrap it up here? Anything that we didn't talk about?
Oh, boy.
We didn't talk about them, you know, skating over that ravine.
Oh yeah,
oh,
the
God.
Jump. The big jump.
The skate jump.
And getting to build faster speeds by everybody skating in a circle.
They seem to have a lot. They have roller derby skills.
Yeah.
They sometimes have baseball skills.
Oh,
they
also,
have pole vaulting skills.
Yeah, I was going to say, he pole vaults over an electric gate like it's nothing. Like, that would be impossible. A, to find a pole for pole vaulting.
That would could sustain that kind of weight.
Yes. Oh, yeah, and it's like an 18-foot fence.
I mean, I'm just trying to imagine, because the implication is sometimes that these feats are easier or are helped by skates. And I'm trying to imagine, if I really had to make that jump, would I want to be on roller skates? I mean, those skates are so heavy.
Yeah.
I think I might just...
Just try and jump it?
Try and jump it. I just... They never seem to be helped by their skates.
Again, most of the movie takes place in sand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also argue, why not just make the bridge slightly like one is higher and one is lower? It was a direct, like, straightaway.
No
so
way.
They really...
And Jason Patrick makes it alone.
Yeah.
He just
no help.
Can do it. Because he's the boss who is not the star of the movie, who's not the hero.
Who, again, has no powers,
yep,
to speak of besides jumping that big ditch.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
And, I like when the motorcycles try to chase them, instead of accelerating, they sort of slow up and do like a donut and then fall into it. Even though kids have just jumped it on roller skates.
Yeah, arguably they would have the most speed and they could easily traverse that.
They would definitely have the most speed because they're on motorcycles.
Yes.
And it seems to me like...
And they're like, I know how to do it.
Yep.
And they blow up and the solar babies cheer. Another one dead.
Oh.
Lucas Haas actually ends up as one of the bounty hunters 30 years later. Like, oh, yeah, what do you want?
I'll make that movie, too.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I'm very into that.
He can only get off if her hands are on fire.
And Jamie Gertz is now involved in some sort of weird sexual relationship with her dad. Because that seems like where that's going. I don't know.
We need to get Mel Brooks to talk about this. Blake Harris should get Mel Brooks to kind of find out what went on.
Yeah. I would be curious to know if there were duplicate locations for Spaceballs. If it was like, rush that into production. Like, oh, we have like 12 extra days in the desert.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, all right, get the roller babies.
All right, so if that's all we have to say, John, what can we talk about for you? What do you want to tell the audience to watch for you or do or anything?
Oh.
Want to plug anything?
Just, I don't know. Just purchase, you know, if you... No, I don't care. I have a special on Netflix. You can watch that. That's fine. no, but, you know, go watch some quick views and purchase some DVDs.
And you would suggest that when they watch these, they should make a video kind of review of it.
Absolutely.
But frame it the right way.
Yeah, frame it so that conspiracy theorists could read into the video.
Jason?
Oh, I got nothing.
Are you going to skip over me? Or?
Wow.
I'm going to come this way.
Wow.
That doesn't make any sense. Ooh.
Wow. Ooh, or was he saving,
make any sense.
Was he saving the best for last?
The heat that was there at the beginning is gone. It is chilly up here. No, I got nothing. Same old nonsense.
All right. June?
Well, the second season of Grace and Frankie is coming out May 6th on Netflix. Yeah.
Woo!
There's that.
So they can watch that on Netflix.
Netflix.
Great. And I will say that you can watch Party Over Here, the show I created with The Lonely Island, on Saturday nights at 11 o'clock. So that's that. You can follow us on our Facebook page. You can follow us on Twitter. Make sure you call us at 617-PAUL-ASK and read our article on Slash Film. And a big thank you to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our clips. You can follow her on Movie Bitches on YouTube. July Diaz, Nate Kiley, Marissa Zeitz, Leanna Waldron, everybody here at Largo, and the people at Earwolf. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye. And thank you to HBO Now for sponsoring today's episode. HBO Now is the new way to stream all of HBO. No TV package required. Get all the series, movies, docs, sports, specials, and more all at the click of a button. Download the app on your favorite device to start your 30-day free trial right now. HBO Now! You're coming to give me good shit. Hey everybody, thank you so much for listening. Make sure you definitely check out Filthy Preppy Teens on the new Full Screen app. That's right, Full Screen app is awesome. And I say that not because my show is on it, because I genuinely think it's super cool. You can make GIFs right while you're watching TV. It's awesome. They have amazing things like every episode of Dawson's, every episode of Buffy, every episode of Saved by the Bell, plus original series that you've never seen, and our show, Filthy Preppy Teens. The first three shows are online right now. It stars people like Max Carver from Teen Wolf and Leftovers, Hannah Kasula. You also have Shaylee Rose from Nashville. You have Malise Jow from The Flash. You got tons of great people in this thing, and I think you're really going to love it. Filthy Preppy Teens, go to fullscreen.com for a month free, or just download the app. Same thing, for month free.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.